fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and beginning another day of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. This past week, I've been talking a lot about how we can arm ourselves in the great spiritual combat that each one of us is called to engage in on a daily basis. The church is so clear in echoing the teaching of Jesus and the apostles that life is a spiritual combat. Pope Francis, he just kind of captured me as he was just giving a homily on Ephesians chapter 6, where St. Paul talks about that every day we're in a battle, and that battle is not against flesh and blood, but literal principalities and powers, literal spiritual forces that are set against us, leading us away from God's will. And that heaven demands vigilance. It means commitment, surrender, seeking God, being alert. No Christian is ever on leave. You know, if you think about this in terms of the military analogy, the image, you know, soldiers are focused, they're ready for battle, they're being trained for battle, they're always in a state of alertness. But there's occasion where they have leave and they can just let it all go and they can go relax. Well, for the Christian, really, there's no leave until we pass from this life to the next. And we're meant to be vigilant. And it's interesting, it's important for us to see, I think sometimes people, we can relate to it like, well, this is a burden that the church is imposing on us and imposing on me. And it's a burden I really don't think I need to be that serious about. I certainly don't want to get fanatical about it. And it's too much of a distraction. That kind of stuff ends up emerging. And we lose sight of that really it should be not just for our own self-interest, but we ought to have a lot of self-interest involved in this because it's about your eternal salvation. Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He knows with certainty that that's not something you can do on your own. You cannot make yourself perfect. Now, you might be able to make yourself perfect in a way the world acknowledges or defines perfection. Material success, Super Bowls, or whatever people want to define that as. You know, fashion, certain kind of physical beauty, big bank account, whatever it is. But in the eyes of the Lord, those things are trivial and they have nothing to do with real perfection because perfection means what? It means, as we said yesterday, holiness. It means pursuing sanctity, becoming a saint, being set apart for God. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came and said, look at me. What you see in me is what you're called to be. How I live is how you're called to live. My priorities, they ought to be your priorities. That's why Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross and come after me to follow me. Because right now, you don't have the right priorities and you don't have first things first in a way that's going to really lead you to the life that's going to perfect you, to the holiness and the fulfillment and the human flourishing that you were made for. Because the world's on a different course. That's what Jesus said at one point. He said, the way that leads to damnation or separation from God is wide, and many choose to travel that road. But how narrow is the way that leads to life, and how few there are who even find it. Now, we don't know how many are on either road. Only God knows that. But what Jesus is trying to say is that the majority of people are currently on a path of not seeing what matters. They're making choices with their life that are actually leading to their own demise. And that serious decision needs to be made to enter that narrow path. I think it was Archbishop Fulton Sheen or Chesterton or somebody said, you know, dead men float downstream. People who are not alive in Christ as disciples go with the general flow. Think about the flow of a big river and people who are not paying attention to Jesus and seeking first the kingdom of God and making those practical decisions of being able to incarnate that in your life each day so they're actually living a life of vigilance and alertness and clarity like the apostles did, fully engaged in that call to holiness, fully engaged in that call to mission, and being very serious about it and putting first things first, people in that place, people who are living that way, they're like someone who's standing against the current and making their way step by step against that roaring current as everybody's coming by them. But the Christian has to be that person who's walking against the current and grabbing people as you come and bringing them along with you, bringing them to safety on the banks, or to bring them in a place when they're strengthened, who can now stand against the current with you. We'll never make it home. We'll never become everything we were made to be by just simply going with the flow of culture and filling our time with all the things that the great masters of consumption and marketing are trying to convince us that this is what ought to fill our life. This is what will make us happy. It's a battle every day. And Jesus made it so clear. I love the passage where it says, the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. I think about that often, both Jesus and then Mary, who's the queen of heaven and earth. Mary, our mother, the mother of Jesus, the only one who lived without sin in the world, apart from the Lord himself, obviously. And here's Jesus who had no place to lay his head in this world, lived very simply, focused on the salvation of others and the service of others in obedience to the Father in the mission that he was given in this world, finally crucified and stripped in the world's eyes, an absolute failure, just another criminal hanging on a cross, bleeding to death, a no account. And who is Jesus? He's the King of glory. He's the Savior of the world. All power and authority belong to him. He holds the universe in his hands. He's everything every human being ever dreamt to be. It's Jesus Christ. And all the crowns in this world, all the crowns in this world are really, they're just nothing. They're rags. They really are in relationship, in light of the glory of Jesus Christ. It's all passing away. It's going to rot. I mean, I have trophies that you throw in garbage cans, and my son, you know, some of my kids who've been very successful in sports or whatever and have all these trophies and things, after a few years, they all end up in the garbage. They're just, it's wonderful to achieve it. It's wonderful to be a part of it. But friends, it's all passing away. What doesn't pass away is the glory of the King. So here Jesus, the one who had no place to lay his head, is the King of the universe. Mary, the child, full of grace, chosen by God, backwoods little town, little village, no power, no money, no influence, no public voice, all the things that everybody wants, no fame, no recognition, none of it. She trusts God. She abandons her life to God. She cherishes everything he gives her in her heart. She follows him simply, quietly, day by day. She gives birth to the Son of God. She raises him with Joseph. And where is she now? She's the queen of heaven and earth. Think about that. Do you want the glory of this world that ends in dust and ashes and nothing? Friends, we're all going to be easily forgotten. Everybody. I was at a funeral recently and of a good friend, wonderful man, and it was a glorious funeral. 2.5 hours of worship. He planned the whole funeral with his family and the father and the priest, and it was a glorious time. And he was a man really set on the Lord, loved the Lord, put him first, and it was just amazing to think about the glory that he's entering into, you know, because of the life he lived and his surrender to Jesus. But I was walking through the cemetery that day, and I'm just looking at the stones, this cemetery here in Ann Arbor. It's an old cemetery, and it's packed, and they're actually having to move some of the plots, move people out to make room for others. I'm not sure how they decide all that, but it's very crowded. And some of the stones are quite old. And I'm looking at the different stones. And I remembered years ago reading this article. And this gentleman in the article said, you know, the whole world is covered with graves. Everybody dies. everybody on earth today, within the next 100 years, is going to be dead. Probably, maybe a few exceptions, but they'll be dead not long after. Think about that. Everybody who's walking the earth right now, all the big money people, all the big sports people, the entertainment people, the powerful people, the forgotten people, everybody in between, everybody's going to be gone from this earth. And the question is, where are they going to be? Where did they go? Where will they go? There's only two destinations, and this is why the spiritual combat and serious Christian discipleship is so crucial. Because you can look at those gravestones, and it might have on there things they've done or things they liked or whatever, but there's only one fundamental question. Of all the things they've done on earth, there's one fundamental question. Did they say yes to God? Did they say yes to the offer of salvation that the Father has given to us in Jesus? What that means is, did they find their true destiny? Did they come to know that they were made by God, made for God, made on purpose, and that the reason for being, their reason for living, was to give back to God what he gave first to us? Love, surrender, obedience, service. Through loving God, loving our neighbor, and making disciples. That's key. That's the big question. Honestly, friends, it wouldn't matter if you had a big stone, big, huge monument, and you had all the things this person achieved. Oh, he owned a Super Bowl team, and they won more Super Bowls than anybody. He was very generous. He gave to the arts. He built one of the biggest businesses in the world. This, that, and the other thing. He loved to play tennis, or he owned a horse that won the Triple Crown. You could list all those things. And as fine as they are, as good as they are in their own right, it's over. They're over. The question is, did he meet God? Did he acknowledge God? Did he surrender to his Creator? Did he seek first the kingdom of God? Friends, if he didn't do that, if he felt like he didn't need God, or he didn't like the religion thing, or I'll be spiritual, but I'm not going to be religious, I'm not going to give in all that, I'm going to create my own path, I'm going to design my own bliss, I'm going to do the things that I find pleasurable. If that's the life he lived, and that's how he ended his life was an utter failure, it was a horror, a disaster. He didn't make it. Of course, only God knows the human heart. But my point is this. Now's the time of salvation. Now's the time of decision for each and every one of us. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.